I'm Faith Middleton in New Haven, and this show is about the richness of life. It's the Book Show, a live call-in. Great reads coming your way in this hour. Thanks for listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. Let us know about a book that you love. If you're a book club member, we're dying to know what you're reading. Phones are yours at 203-776-9677. That's 203-776-WNPR. You can tell us on Facebook right now. Search The Faith Middleton Show or tweet us at FaithWNPR. My book buddies are here. Roxanne Cody of R.J. Julia Booksellers in Madison, Connecticut. Lee Jacobus, editor of the college textbook A World of Ideas, and Rose Quiello, professor at Southern Connecticut State University and Quinnipiac University. Roxanne.
So every once in a while, I bring up a book that I have been crazy about, and you might say, this is not anything I really want to read, and I'm going to suggest that you have to read it. So the book that I'm going to mention is called Wash, and it's by Margaret Wrinkle. It's set in the Civil War, and Wash is a man named Washington who's a slave who the plantation owner realizes would be a great breeder of new slaves and therefore very appealing to other plantation owners. And therefore, every Friday, Wash is brought to another plantation to breed slaves. So this feels almost impossible to tolerate reading, but it is a brilliant and beautiful analysis of how people manage to withstand unacceptable circumstances and hold themselves together. And this is true of the slave, Washington. It is true about the plantation owner. And it is true about other characters that you meet reading this book. It is one of the most extraordinary books I have ever read about slavery that makes you understand what that's like. It's called Wash by Margaret Wrinkle.
Do you know the book The Known World?
Oh, yeah.
It won a Pulitzer Prize.
The Edward Jones book.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you recall if you read that book?
I did.
I'm starting it right now.
It's fantastic.
So this would be in a similar category.
It would. Edward Jones does a more Known World is nonfiction.
I think it's fiction.
Oh, okay. Then I'm not remembering it right.
Okay.
But yes, that would be.
I might be wrong.
It's a great book, and it also makes you understand slavery. This makes you understand it on a more emotional level. Mm-hmm. Edward Jones's book makes you understand it more on a factual level, I would say.
Okay, good. 203-776-WNPR, if you have read a book that you love, it's all word of mouth. The joy we have is just spreading the word about great books to read, any category that you like. 203-776-9677. Rose Quiello.
Faith, I could not wait to talk about Laura Hillenbrand's book, Unbroken. There might be four or five books in my life that have changed me in a profound way where I feel like my body is different on a molecular level of some sort. This is one of them. This is the story of this is an amazing book. This is the story of Louis Zamperini, who was flying a bomber in 1943, and the bomber crashes into the Pacific Ocean. He and his comrades, two of them, survive 47 days on a raft, and then they are taken captive by the Japanese. And Louis goes under the care, I even get excited talking about it. He is horrifically abused by a prison guard named Watanabe, beaten to a pulp every day. So how could this be, one of the best five books I've ever read? Well, it's a book about – well, first, let me add one more thing. Laura Hillenbrand is brilliant. She loops back to Louis's childhood, where she calls him a one-boy insurgency. He smoked at 5, drank at 8, stole for, you know, everything he could get his hands on. And she attributes – and this is a true story based on 75 interviews with Louis Zamperini, who's still alive. But this is a book about survival. It's a book about redemption. And it's a book about forgiveness in a way that made me a better person. I cannot say enough. We had the most dynamic book discussion Monday night on Laura Hillenbrand's Unbroken. Everybody in the whole world should read this book. In the whole world.
All right. 203-776-9677 here on The Book Show. It is great to have you listening. Lee Jacobus.
Well, I want to recommend a really remarkable book. It was a book club choice that not in my book group, but in my physician's book group. My physician recommends the most wonderful books to me all the time. and it's Wallace Stegner's Crossing to Safety.
I love that book.
Wallace Stegner, of course, is one of the greatest of American modern writers. And he writes a very quiet prose style. He's not a show-off. He's not
flashy.
He's not a stylistic, crazy guy. He, in fact, writes such a beautifully simple prose that you just are caught up into it, and it's wonderful. He does have a beautiful sense of what is true about the wilderness and about the local fauna and flora. He just dazzles you with that kind of stuff. But this is a book that is about two beautiful couples. It's about their life from 1938 to 1972. This would be a book for any people who have another couple that you are very close to and have been very close to for a long time. It is deeply poignant. It is deeply moving in every way because mm-hmm. these people's mm-hmm. lives are connected at the most profound soul level. And it's a beautiful book in every way. It is about their lives, about the beginning of their association and the ends of their association. It is a profound trip, a profound journey, and it's called Crossing to Safety, and it's by Wallace Stegner, whose work is simply magnificent. I can't recommend it more highly than that.
And that book is out in paperback, by the way.
It is.
The book I want to talk about is just out, and it's called The Trauma of Everyday Life. It's by Dr. Mark Epstein. And he is in real life this is a nonfiction. He's a psychiatrist who is interested in the intersection of psychiatry and Buddhism. And there's been a lot of talk already about this book. He did an essay in the New York Times, which was amazing. And we're going to do a show with him this Monday. So I wanted to let you know at 3:00, and it will re-air at 9:00. This book is so good because he's getting people to understand that he's not just talking about the big traumas, but that there are millions of little traumas in the course of a day that we sometimes aren't even aware of. We just swallow them. They go by. We have to get through a day. And, he's saying, and then, of course, the big hits, death and illness. And so this is a way, through a kind of secular Buddhist approach, of recognizing that these things occur rather than pushing them aside, not paying attention to them. And in doing so, in taking note, having awareness of these little moments is how you de-stress and how you don't stumble from them in the end. They pass through you in a better way, and you actually can even grow from them. A very, very good book. Roxanne.
So sometimes we might think these days that Washington, people in Washington, are certifiably out of their minds, right? I mean, there's something that there's this now, I think, cavern of a disconnect. So Mark Leibovich, who's a journalist of some renown and accomplishment, and writes for the New York Times Magazine, wrote a book called This Town. this book is all of these things at once. So what he talks about is all the characters. So he starts with like little things like the behavior at Tim Russert's funeral, where it's both being there in sadness for the loss of this towering figure, but also a very good opportunity to sort of establish yourself or to show yourself as very sympathetic or very important. So what Mark does is show you this arc of what's happened in this town of Washington, D.C. He takes no prisoners. He's an equal opportunity abuser. And you are both charmed, entertained, and informed. I had the best time reading this book, because if you thought they were crazy but think maybe you're crazy, that they're crazy and really on the ground they're not crazy, Mark will show you how they are crazy. And it's its own little ecosystem now. That's a very profitable little ecosystem that they've all found themselves in.
Oh, I have to read this.
You have to read this book. You just have to. It's called This Town by Mark Leibovich.
All right. Tom, welcome to the book show. Faith Middleton.
Yes, thank you. I was just calling to recommend a couple of detective series.
Oh, good.
That I particularly enjoy. One of them by Philip Kerr, K-E-R-R, and the protagonist is a detective in, of all places, Berlin during the rise of the Nazis, World War II, and then post-World War II, which finds him joining other Nazis in South America. So it's a really compelling set of books, and Kerr really captures Germany at that time very well. The other series that I particularly enjoy is by Olen, O-L-E-N, Steinhauer. And there, again, it's a series.
Is that S-T-E-I-N-H-A-U-E-R?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And his protagonist is, his novels are set in an unnamed but probably Bulgaria, a communist bloc country, and takes it from, again, the 40s all the way through the fall of the Iron Curtain.
Mm. Okay. This is great. So two mystery series, Philip Kerr and Olen Steinhauer.
Correct.
Each of
the authors.
Thank you.
And they're just terrific and really illuminate, I think, sort of the everyday lives in nations, the countries that we really sort of don't often, circumstances we don't often think about, but they're great.
Thank you so much, Tom. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Call us anytime.
Thank you.
All righty. Here's the phone number, 203-776-9677. Here on The Book Show, we have lots more great reads to tell you about. We're going to tell you about who is the best-selling novelist ever. So contemplate that, and we'll take a quick break and be right back. I'm Faith Middleton, and welcome to this fresh edition of The Book Show. It's great to have you listening. The phones are yours at 203-776-9677. That's 203-776-WNPR. This is how we spread the word of a great read. If you're in a book club, we'd love to hear from you. Young people, what are you reading? We want to know. We're talking to kids here. You know, if you've been reading something terrific, you call us too. Jim, Faith, and the gang, welcome to the show.
Hey, Faith, how are you? Good to talk with you again.
Good to talk to you, too, Jim. Oh, we lost him. That's too bad. Okay, I think it's your turn. Rose Criello.
Faith, this is Mary Carr's third memoir. It's called Lit, L-I-T.
I read this.
And we know Mary Carr from The Liars Club and her other memoir, Cherry. And, of course, a memoir is a chapter of one's life or a piece of one's life. And so I think we'll expect more memoirs from Mary Carr. But this is about her many years of getting drunk and her road to recovery. And it takes us through her childhood in Texas and then motherhood and her struggles with wifehood and motherhood while being drunk. But this book is so wonderful because it is as funny as it is sorrowful, I think. And also because while memories can be fuzzy, she's really interested in the truth. It's really about self-examination. I love Mary Carr. I love Lit, L-I-T.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had her on the show when that book came out at first, and I was amazed. I told her I was amazed by her candor, mm-hmm. the level of her honesty. And
right.
She is funny.
About her son. You know, mm-hmm. especially in a way, it's a letter to her son.
Yes.
So, Lit by Mary Carr. Thanks, Rose. Abby Faith Middleton, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Faith. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
So, the book that I really love, I love a lot of historical books, but one of them is called All the Shah's Men by Stephen Kinzer, and it's about the overthrow of the Shah, democratically elected.
Did you say All the Shah's Men?
Yeah, exactly.
And the author again?
Is Stephen Kinzer. I actually wrote him an email, and I was like, you need to get this made into a film, because you've seen all these films about, like Ben Affleck's film about going into Iran and rescuing hostages. This mm-hmm. film is actually about the U.S. and the CIA's involvement in the revolution, and it's really interesting and really informative. I think most Americans don't really have an idea of what happened in Iran and how much involved America and Britain were in what Iran is now today.
Yeah. So, and is it Kinzer, K-I-N-S-E-R?
K-I-N-Z-E-R, I believe.
Z-E-R. Okay, yeah. Terrific. All the Shah's Men, Stephen Kinzer.
Yeah.
Okay,
you're
welcome. Thanks so much for calling.
No problem.
Okay, bye-bye. We have a Facebook message from Alexandra Duchesne, and she is recommending The Physic Book of Deliverance Dane by Catherine Howe. She said, picked it up on a bargain table, and it is the best novel I've read in a long time. Totally new treatment of the Salem witches. Also raises the themes of midwifery, the birth of science, the role of women in medicine. Beautiful prose. Here's an author, she says, who respects her reader. I really enjoyed this book. Alexandra, thank you so much for that. You too can send us a message on Facebook. Just search The Faith Middleton Show. And if you give us 48 hours, we will have the list of the books here on the show up at our website, which is WNPR.org. And so I would say within 48 hours, that should be up. Lee Jacobus.
Well, I've heard you speak occasionally, and you too, Rox, about having a book sitting on your bookshelf that you thought you might read and then you didn't read, mm-hmm. and it's sitting there forever. Well, I had one that I finally read this summer, and I'm so glad I did. It's Charles Dickens's book called Our Mutual Friend. Our Mutual Friend was his last novel, and it probably was his most ambitious novel. It is a mystery, believe it or not, that it involves murder and a lot of skullduggery and bribery, deceit, and
how fun
and disinheritance. It has great characters in it. Noddy Boffin is one of the characters who is really center to the book. It also is a book that deals with having made a fortune out of garbage in London in the 1800s. The main character, Noddy Boffin, inherits a fortune from his boss, who made his money in what is called dust. And it's wonderful. And this book the thing about it that's so extraordinary for me personally is that he is brilliant. Dickens is brilliant with language. He plays with language so extraordinarily throughout. He just dazzles you. You know, just as I said, Wallace Stegner writes a kind of calm and beautiful direct prose. Well, no, Dickens is playing with people. He has a gallery of probably 100 characters, all of whom speak differently and speak bizarrely, but wonderfully. They are so eccentric and so marvelous that they just keep entertaining you all the time. time. And of course, things work out wonderfully. And this is a book that I just can't help but recommend to everyone. Charles Dickens, who doesn't love him? And it's Our Mutual Friend. Brilliant book.
Ah, Our Mutual Friend?
Our Mutual Friend.
Our Mutual Friend. Okay. Thank you. So let's play the guessing game of who is the best-selling novelist ever. Roxanne, what's your guess?
E.L. James.
Okay. Rose, do you have a guess?
No. Do I get a second chance? Can you go around? Let me think.
Sure. Lee Jacobus.
I may need one of those, too, actually. Well, let's see. It might be Mrs. Gaskell.
No. No, it is Agatha Christie.
Well, yes.
Her books have sold 2 billion, with a B, 2 billion copies, have been translated into 45 languages. Her catalog still generates roughly $4 million in royalty every single year.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that
amazing? I was thinking of a single title. You said novelist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, novelist.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that amazing?
Wonderful.
Howard, Faith Middleton and the gang, welcome to the book show.
Oh, thank you so much, Faith. You know, I didn't know what to think when a friend of mine said, you should pick up Gloria Parker's book, Meeting Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, because it's a struggle of a young actress who gets pregnant and has a son and has a hard time juggling her life as an actress with her son. And after many years, he reveals that he really is a girl. And it's a transgender story, and it's very powerful. And it's kind of a dual memoir because you learn an awful lot about Gloria Parker, but you also learn an awful lot about Robin, her son. I mean, it's kind of extraordinary, written in the second person, so the son gets to have a point of view about his mother, which is very fascinating.
Yeah. So Gloria Parker is the mother, and this is nonfiction.
Yes.
Nonfiction.
This is nonfiction. Yes. Okay. Meeting Robin.
Oh wow. Okay. Meeting Robin. R-O-B-Y-N. Thank
yes.
you so much, Howard.
Thank you.
Appreciate
so much,
it.
Faith. And
You're
how
welcome.
Did you say on the air for a while? Did you say 30 years?
Did I say that?
Well, I think I heard that.
Don't believe her.
Well, in the service, I did radio, but 30 years, oh, my God.
Started when I was 4.
Of course you did.
Thank you.
Thank
okay,
you.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. 203-776-9677. And who's, is it my, it's, well, sure. Roxanne,
okay.
Go ahead.
So Banned Books Week is coming up, and I was looking at the list of banned books because it's unceasingly fascinating what somebody's objected to about something. But looking at this book on the list reminded me how much I love this book. This is one of the books I put in my top 10 of, like, rearranged my brain. It's called Always Running by Luis Rodriguez. Luis Rodriguez is a poet. He's an Hispanic American. And it's his memoir. But here's the thing that I learned in this book that talks about growing up Hispanic in America is towards the end of the book, he talks about an instance of 2 little boys going into a drugstore and the drugstore owner deciding arbitrarily that they had stolen something and treated them accordingly as thieves, even though they were like 7 and 9 years old. And Luis Rodriguez talks about the way they were treated. And he says, when you wonder about how somebody poor or urban doesn't act like a human being, it starts when they're not treated like a human being. And this whole book, for one, he's a poet and he writes like a poet. So it's beautiful language. But he helps you understand what this is like to live on that side and how we unconsciously, even the most kindly and sympathetic of us, are doing things every day that are making people who are poor and young feel that they are somehow not as valuable. And then they become hardwired about that. So this book has been banned. because it's sexually explicit. It is sexually explicit in the most benign of ways. I mean, there are music lyrics that are way more sexually explicit than the language in this book, and it has offensive language, so it's banned. So I urge you all to read it. It's called Always Running by Luis Rodriguez.
Thank you, Roxanne. Lori, welcome to the book show at 203-776-9677.
Hi, thank you.
You're welcome.
I wanted to recommend Me Before You by Jojo Moyes. It's a wonderful book. It's about the lead. There's two main characters, but the man, the lead character, was a very successful man, full of life, and he ends up being a quadriplegic. And that happens pretty early on in the story, so I'm not giving anything away there. But so it's a relationship between him and his caregiver, and they're very intense characters. You get a good feel for them. She's a very good writer, and they have hard choices to make. And it's amazing how he opens up her eyes to life, and you know, he's the one in the wheelchair, and great, great story. Very hard to put down, and I would highly recommend it.
And that's by Jojo
Moyes, M-O-Y-E-S.
Okay, Me Before You by Jojo Moyes.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It's good to hear about that. All right, Rose Cuello.
Faith, one of my favorite authors is Kate Atkinson, and I have one of her books, Started Early, Took My Dog. The title, of course, is from anything with a dog in it I'm going to read. But the title is from Emily Dickinson's poem, Started Early, Took My Dog, Went by the Sea, which this book prompted me to go revisit. But anyway, it's a detective story, but not the Robert Parker kind. It features James what's his name? Jackson Brody. He's a retired detective roaming around Yorkshire, brooding over the women in his life. And juxtaposed with him is Tracy, who's a retired police officer. And she does something absolutely crazy. She's in a mall, and a woman walks by, and she sees her woman and child, and she sees the child being mistreated, and she offers the woman money to buy her child. And she buys the child from the woman. She purchases the child, the abused child. And so the rest is a mystery.
This is great. What a great story this is.
Yeah, yeah. But what I really love about Kate Atkinson is that after I get to the end, I have to go back and revisit all the passages where she tricked me. And I didn't have a clue what was going on. And I also love about her books that they're so uncluttered. They're clean and they're not overly embroidered. So this is
the book you're holding is all, it's all chewed up. What in the world? What happened to that book?
So my baby doll Mason, my new lab, when I first got him, you know, we fell in love immediately, and he had a little anxiety separation after I left him for the first few days. And he chewed literally a bookcase. He didn't devour, didn't eat them. He just shredded a bookcase of my books.
And so clearly,
a magical moment in my life.
Clearly.
I told him, eat the male authors. Save Kate Atkinson and my Buddhist stuff.
How do you know he wasn't reading? And that's how we held on to the book.
I don't know.
Okay, you're just checking.
Because he's brilliant. Thank you for asking, Kate. I mean, Faith.
That's okay. Ginny, Faith Middleton, welcome to the show. What's the title on that, Kate Atkinson, by the way?
Started Early, Took My Dog.
Started
kind
early,
of like
my
day every day.
Ginny, go ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to recommend, and maybe this has been discussed before, but I hope not, The Light Between Oceans by M.L. Stedman.
Loved it.
Yeah, me too. But what I particularly liked about it was that it started off as just an interesting story about a lighthouse keeper. And it was light, and I thought, no, this isn't going to hold me. And then it got very dark, but in an extremely interesting way. And you read about 130 pages, and, you know, just when you're about to think, kind of frothy, it developed all kinds of nuances and sub-themes and a really great plot twist. and the whole rest of the book dealt with that.
And then Stedman's last name is spelled, is it S-T-E-A-D?
No,
just
S-T-E-D.
Yeah, okay.
M-A-N.
M-A-N. Okay, The Light Between Oceans, M.L. Stedman. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Rose likes that too. Thank you so much. Now, don't forget, in within 48 hours, we will try to have the list of the books you hear on the show posted at our site, WNPR.org. Lee Jacobus.
I've got an Ed McBain novel here, mystery from the 87th Precinct. Unbelievably, this book is called The Last Dance. It is the 50th title in his 87th Precinct series, and it reads as if it's the first. I mean, it's just so lively and so bright and so extraordinary. I'm amazed. I haven't read any of the others, so I'm not an Ed McBain fan. I just dipped into this because I thought, I really ought to know about this guy. I hear everything that he does is pretty brilliant, and this is a brilliant book. What's so neat about it, again, I've talked about the use of language in the other books I've been reading. This book is like you are sitting in the 87th Precinct, and these tough cops are talking to you just as if you were a fly on the wall. You know, you hear everything. It just sounds like you are really, really there. But the other thing that's also extraordinary about his whole series is that he takes characters from maybe the 12th novel or the 8th novel or even the first novel, and they show up in the 50th novel. They're still still doing things. Danny the Gimp, who is in fact a stool pigeon in an earlier novel, comes
into
this
one. What a surprise!
Yeah. Right. And he shows up and he's wonderful. It's called The Last Dance. And if you like mysteries that are police procedurals, this is mana. It's Ed McBain.
That's great. All right. Coming up, we're going to be talking about The Essential Scratch and Sniff Guide to Becoming a Wine Expert. This is really a scratch book. And the aromas to teach you about wine come right off the page. We'll be right back with more recommendations here on The Book Show. Stay with us. Faith Middleton, and this is a fresh edition of The Book Show. It's great to have you listening. We thank you for your support. I also thank our producers, Lori Mack and Jonathan McNichol, production assistants today from Marion Roy. Appreciate your call so much at 203-776-9677. I wanted to mention that I am an Edith Wharton fan, and I never read The Age of Innocence, which is probably her most famous book. And I didn't read it because I had seen the movie, and I thought, well, I pretty much know what happens. And so there it was on the shelf this summer, and I picked it up, and it was so good. And I was reminded of how it is so much about what has gone on in the financial world in this decade. Very much about that. This is one of those books, Edith Wharton's Age of Innocence, that you cannot put down. It's just terrific. So if it happened to you too because you saw the movie and thought, well, I guess I can skip on to some other one of her novels, don't do that. Don't make the mistake that I made. Here's a Facebook message from Sarah Pestalozzi. She says, for anyone who hasn't read it, Lolita by Vladimir Nabokov is my absolute favorite book of all time. Beautiful prose, story, symbolism, and foreshadowing. A must read. That's Lolita by Vladimir Nabokov. Let's see. Roxy and Cody, and then we'll go to the phones.
So this is a children's book that Stephanie at the bookstore showed me, and I am in love with it. So one day, Duncan gets a packet of letters, and he went to go take his crayons out, and it's a letter from each of his color crayons. So this a brief little sample of these letters are, hey, Duncan, it's me, Red Crayon. We need to talk. You make me work harder than any of your other crayons. All year long, I wear myself out coloring fire engines, apples, strawberries, everything that's red. I even work on holidays. I have to cover all the Santas at Christmas, all the hearts on Valentine's. I need a rest. Your overworked friend, Red Crayon. So these letters from the gray crayon or the naked little beige crayon or the purple crayon, I've read this book about 15 times. I still read it, and it still makes me smile. So technically, it's for like a little kid.
Okay, but tell us the name of it again. What is it again?
The Day the Crayons Quit.
And who's the author?
Drew Daywalt, Daywelt.
Oh,
I love this
that's
book.
That's a really great one. Angie Faith Middleton, welcome to the book show.
Thanks for taking the call, Faith.
You're welcome.
I love you, Joe.
Thank you.
Want to bring the conversation back to mysteries and recommend the latest in the Inspector Gamache series by Louise Penny, a Canadian author. The title is How the Light Gets In, and I just love these. She can't write them fast enough. Whenever they come out, I stay up all night and then, you know, are disappointed because I don't have another one for another year.
And is
Louise Penny has won every award, the Edgar, the Agatha, in both the United States and Canada.
No kidding. And is it P-I-N-N-E-Y?
Yep, just like the shiny copper one.
Oh, a Penny. I see. Louise Penny, How the Light Gets In.
Right,
I'm going to have to read something of hers. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. It's one of eight, and it's part of the Inspector Gamache series.
Okay. Very nice. Thanks so much for that recommendation.
No problem. Thanks, Faith.
You're welcome. Let's see. All right. So I promised to talk about this, and here we go. This book is called The Essential Scratch and Sniff Guide to Becoming a Wine Expert. It's by Richard Betts, B-E-T-T-S. His motto is wine is a grocery, not a luxury. And he is one of, there are only about, I think, 200 of these sort of grand sommeliers in the world, master sommeliers in the world. And Richard Betts is one of them. He's well known in the wine world. And he cannot stand all this kind of wine geek talk, these crazy terms. And so he did this scratch and sniff book, tongue-in-cheek, but really to teach people. He did it in that children's book style to teach people about wine, and it's terrific. And when you see one of these little round dots on things, you can scratch it and really sniff the quality that he's talking about. And he makes it very simple to understand some basic qualities in wine, and says,
I can't wait.
Makes the case, you don't need to know anything more than this. And you're the judge of whether you like something or not. This is one of the pages that has a mirror on it. And he says, who decides whether it's a good wine? And then you look at the page and he says, you guessed it. And when you see this symbol, scratch it. So, it's fruit, wood, earth, and then the term other for these kind of qualities that you might pick up that somebody else doesn't pick up. And so he said, really, it's as simple as that. That's what you're looking for. Isn't the design of this terrific? The Essential Scratch and Sniff Guide to Becoming a Wine Expert by Richard Betts, B-E-T-T-S. S. Wine's a grocery, not a luxury. That's his slogan.
Love that.
Bert, Faith Middleton, and the gang, welcome to the book show.
Good afternoon, Faith. Yes, I have an author here. I heard him on the Charlie Rose show this month.
Yeah.
And it is Colum McCann. See, that's C-O-L-U-M, and then it's M-C-A-N-N. And the first book that I read was Let the Great World Spin.
Yeah, nice. I just read this summer.
Yeah, great book.
I thought it was outstanding. In fact, from there, I jumped to another one, Zoli, Z-O-L-I, which I enjoyed just as much, which gave a lot of background, and it's a story of the gypsies in Slovakia during the 30s and 40s, what they went through with the communists and the Germans.
Yeah.
And I am now reading Dancer, which is the story of Nureyev growing up in Russia. Now, they are novels, but they are historical novels. I love his writing. I think he's fantastic. In fact, these three books I will have read in a period of probably 3 weeks.
Isn't that something? Well, Bert, let me let you know that I'm going to be interviewing Colum McCann in front of a live audience in April. With Michael Cunningham, and that's going to be at Wesleyan University. So watch for the announcement about that.
I will do that.
Okay, and then
hey,
you can hear
much.
Him in person. Okay, thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Lee Jacobus.
Well, I did a very unusual thing. We had a couple of decisions to make in our classics book group, and people wanted to read Nathaniel Hawthorne, and I was really, really surprised. Now, I haven't read Nathaniel Hawthorne since I was a freshman in college, so they wanted to read The House of Seven Gables, and I said, oh, well, all right, let's do it. I couldn't remember. I got my old volume, and there were my notes in The House of Seven Gables, but they were the notes of a freshman. I didn't know much when I was a freshman, and so I paid no attention to them, and I read a different edition. And I must say, I was really surprised at how good a book it is. It talks about the decay of a once noble or once important family, not noble necessarily, and what happens to it, and how, in fact, it fails to adapt to the modern world, how a curse is put upon a family, and how, in fact, the generation that evolved from that curse, the people who grew up as children of the person who was cursed, takes over and becomes part of the family again and rejuvenates it entirely. And what happens is this: you have this rhythm of growth, importance, and then decay, and then the sense of somebody who is not worth much, who then produces a whole generation of important or good people, and how things just keep rejuvenating. The novel is about how the world changes and how it gets how it improves. It's surprising to me. I mean, there's a lot more going on in this book, of course, than that. But it's that struck me. The sense that people change and go and grow and things just simply come out better in America. It's really remarkable. And it's called The House of Seven Gables, one of the most famous. It's the book that made him a wealthy man. It's a book that put him on the map. And it's by Nathaniel Hawthorne, one of our greatest, you know, important writers.
Lee, I think on this show, you have talked in the past about a mystery writer who's a classic mystery writer, Walter Mosley.
Oh, yes.
Did you read one of his and talk about it on the show?
I have, yes, in the past, but some time ago, yeah.
Yeah. And so it was on the shelf.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wish I could tell you which one of his books it is.
I wish I could tell you.
I had such a good time.
Oh,
he's
great.
So good.
Oh, he is just
his
simply.
His characters, their names, the way they behave.
Yeah. The way they talk.
Yeah. I thought, you know, The Wire, he's just fantastic. No, Walter Mosley's mysteries
is just
absolutely
super.
To be picked up.
He is.
Okay. Cindy, Faith Middleton, welcome to the book show, Fresh Edition.
Hi there.
Hi,
pleasure to be in the great company of readers. I'd like to recommend a book that our book club just read a couple of months ago. By the way, our book club has been meeting for 21 years.
Wow.
Same group of people, 13 of us. All Mount Holyoke alums, so we're
how fun!
Very diligent
cool.
book club attendees. The book that I'd like to recommend is called Kristen Lavin's Daughter.
Oh yeah,
It's a Norwegian book by a Norwegian writer named Sigrid
Undset.
U-N-D-S-E-T. And it's a lovely, lovely trilogy of books, three books. We read the first one in the group, and I didn't put it down and read the second one, and I'll pick it up again and read the third.
Now, what was the title again?
The title is the title of the main character, and it's a woman named Kristin, which is K-R-I-S-T-I-N, and her last name is Lavrin's Daughter, L-A-V-R-A-N-S-D-A-T-T-E-R. So she is the daughter of a guy named Lavrin's. And the book is set in Norway in the 14th century. So you're seeing not only the relationships of the this woman and her relationship with her family and her lover and her soon-to-be husband, but also, you know, just what life was like in, you know, remote areas of Norway. What's also very interesting is that this was, you know, there's a strong element of Christianity that had hit Norway about that time, maybe less than 100 years prior to that. So there's mm-hmm. this, you know, mix of sort of, you know, still remembering, you know, the nymphs of the woods and the fairies of the woods, and then also Christianity coming in.
Yeah.
So it's fabulous book.
So the title is Kristin Lavrin's Daughter?
That's correct.
Okay, very good. Sigrid Undset,
right.
U-N-D-S-E-T. Thank you so much for calling the show.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Lori Mack, who is a producer on the show, said that she has read Gillian Flynn's book, Sharp Objects, and this summer and liked it very much. Gillian Flynn is the author of Gone Girl, which is a book I know that Rose loved.
Don't say it's my favorite. You know what I mean? I'm kind of embarrassed, but I loved it.
Why would you be embarrassed?
Well, it's not high, you know.
That's not high. So since when do we just read high literature?
I know. But I'm an English professor.
What in the world are you? Oh, please.
Oh, stop.
Oh, I know. I loved it. I called you up.
Good. Now you're talking.
There you go.
Okay. Roxanne Cody.
I want to recommend Mission in a Bottle by Seth Goldman and Barry Nailbuff. They started a company called Honest Tea. This is a graphic novel. And what I love about it is you've got a lot of people thinking now anybody can do a startup and be successful. You know, all you need is an idea. And what Seth and Barry do in this book is show you the kind of luck, hard work, focus, diligence, luck that it takes. But they're not just telling their story. They're helping, I think they help you understand whether you've got the capacity to do a startup, and if you do, how to think about it and move forward. You know, I think Barry is one of the smartest thinkers out there. He's also a little crazy, but crazy in that way that very smart people are. And him partnering up with Seth was just this golden partnership that created Honest Tea, which got sold to Coca-Cola. And this is a really... The subtitle is The Honest Guide to Doing Business Differently and Succeeding.
Good.
That is exactly what it is. It's called Mission in a Bottle.
Mission in a Bottle.
It's
okay.
Great.
Very quickly, Chip, can you just name your book and author, please, because we're almost out of time.
Absolutely. Thanks. Unbroken, a World War II story of survival, resilience, and redemption by Laura Hillenbrand.
Oh, yeah.
Great book.
Great. And Hillenbrand is with two L's, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, great. Unbroken by Laura Hillenbrand. Thank you so much, Chip.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Let's see. Anything? Oh, Lee Jacobus,
yes.
On the next show, I would like to talk about your book that's just about to come out.
Yes.
Which is Hawaiian Tales.
Hawaiian Tales, yes, indeed. Well, I'll be here.
I bet you will now.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody. That is a fresh edition of The Book Show. Go to our website, WNPR.org, to see a list of the books. It'll be up within 48 hours. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.